Beautiful song. Paid attention to that. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and Jesus is very near. If you want something from the Lord this morning, you can have it. It's right there for you. He's waiting on you. And you can come this morning, and you can be saved. You can be made brand new right now as the Holy Spirit deals with your heart. As He's breaking your heart, you can call on Him. You can give it all up. You can confess your sins to Him. Be willing to forsake everything and leave here this morning a brand new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things will come new to you when you get saved. You're carrying burdens around with you of sin and problems and heartaches. And there's no hope for you outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get to know Him as your personal Savior, you'll be so glad. We can't really this morning put it into words how wonderful it is to be saved and how special He is to us. But I tell you, when you really get a good taste, when you get a drink of living water, you'll never thirst again. And you won't desire the things of the world again. The devil may tempt you with them, but you don't want them, you don't desire them. Because what you got on the inside of you is so much better. I tell you, you got a well that's springing up in you, the everlasting life. And I tell you, He's special to you. Peter said he talked about His majesty. I tell you, he's my God, and He deserves all honor and all glory and all praise this morning. He saved my soul from hell, and He did something for me nobody else could do. I couldn't have helped myself. I didn't know which way to go, who to turn to, and I couldn't even put it into words. But thank God He knew what I needed, and He heard my feeble cry. The psalmist said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him out of all of his troubles. And when I called on with all my heart, He was there, and He liberated me. He put my feet upon the solid rock, and I've been walking in newness of life ever since that day. 42 years ago, when He got alive in me, and I tell you, it's been joy unspeakable and full of glory. I just can't put it into words. I tell you, I'm ashamed of myself, but I've never been ashamed of Him. He's always gave me what I needed and did some, and never gave me what I deserved. Because if He gave me what I deserved, I went to hell a long time ago. But I'm so glad He saved me. He saw me afar off. He knew my need. I was under prayer. People were praying for me. Somebody got me in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord started speaking to my heart through the Word of God. And I tell you, when I began to listen to that gospel call, when the Holy Spirit began to call my name, I didn't run. I didn't back up. I started running too. And I started seeking Him, and I began to want Him above everything. And that very instant when I really meant it and gave it all up, that's when I got changed. That's when I was saved. And I knew I was saved. I tell you, I knew something happened to me. I didn't know how. I couldn't really put it into words. My brother and my sisters, I tried to explain it to them. But I said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm happy. I got saved. I don't know how to explain it. But I tell you, something happened to me." Right there, my mother, beside her bedside there. I was in there by myself. And I tell you, I was heavy and I had burdens that I just couldn't explain to nobody but just the Lord. And I went to Him with it. And like the song says, He heard me. And my burden was lifted at Calvary. When I went up to the cross there and I laid down and I just cried out to Him, "Lord, be merciful on me, a sinner. I can't help myself. I'm lost. I'm hell bound. And Lord, I can't change my course, but You can." And when I did, that's when I got saved. That's when I got saved. And the Bible tells us that. He tells us about a person here, about an unjust judge. And He talked about it when this person began to go to Him and began to go to Him consistently and saying, "I need something from You. I need something from You." And finally, this judge said, "Look, what do you need?" And he gave what she needed there. And I tell you something, the Lord is much greater than all that. He knows what you need. He's willing and ready right now. He's waiting on you. Don't say, "I'm waiting on God." He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to get right. If you're not right with the Lord, He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to get real with it. He's waiting on you to get honest and get open and really desiring Him to be Lord in your life first and foremost. I tell you, when you got saved, He is your Lord. But is He first in your life? Is He first, or is He second, or is He last? And a lot of times, in a lot of cases, with a lot of Christians, He becomes last. We do everything we got to do. We just run and do and go and everything in the world. And then we begin to think about God right at the end and say, Lord, forgive me and thank you for watching over me. But the Lord said He's to be first in our life. We start our day off with Him. We talk to Him through the day. We ask for guidance through the day. We're trying to serve Him. We're thinking on others. We're thinking on the need of precious souls. We're not sitting there thinking about what kind of pleasure we might be able to partake of, but we're thinking about what the Lord is pleased with. And when you do that, I tell you, He'll just commune with you. He'll talk to you. He'll guide you along the way. No matter what you face, I tell you, He's always there. He just makes the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by Him. But I tell you, He is our way. He's our guidance. And the Holy Spirit is living inside us. We that are saved this morning. And we got the one to direct our paths. He's on the inside. The Bible said He's the comforter that leads us through all truth, who guides us and teaches us and convicts us. Lets us see ourselves, talks to us. And I tell you, He convicts us by the Word of God. If we're honest about it, then we can see it, and we can confess it, and we can get it right. If you're not saved today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's drawing you. And some of you have been putting it off for a long time. You've been putting it off, and waiting for a more convenient season. Maybe, you've observed some lying vanities that maybe just a little bit longer. Let me get married first. Let me buy a home first. Or let me do this and let me do that and so forth. But let me tell you, that's just the devil lying to you. He's beating you out. He's beating you out of the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. The worldly things and material things will not satisfy you. You can look at these movie stars. You can look at these big-time singers and all these folks that make all the kind of money and have all the fame and the fortune and all of that. But yet they're not happy. They're defeated. They're going through drug rehabs. They're going through all different types of things. And I mean all type of vile sins and carrying on. And they're not happy. You won't be happy without Christ. And I tell you, when you come to realize that, when you come to be willing to forsake everything, let it all go, let all the money go, let all the material things go. Don't think about those things, because they're not going to get you anything. It's not going to make you happy. You're seeking for happiness in that. You won't find it in that. It's only in Him. And it's when you get saved and God gives us what we need, we give Him thanks for it. I'm not looking for mansions. I'm not looking for brand new cars. I'm not looking for a big bank account. I'm just looking for His coming. I'm just being patient till it's coming. And when He comes, I'm going on. Because what I'm trying to do, trying to lay my treasures in heaven. And that's what He wants. That's what that means. When you give God your heart, you're laying up your treasures in heaven. Everything you do, and you do it for the cause of Christ, then you're laying your treasures in heaven. And you're going to be blessed. There's going to be rewards given in heaven. But I tell you, I owe it to Him. I owe it to Him. And I love Him. And I tell you, when you love somebody, you want to please them. And I want to please the Lord. And that's why I live for Him. And that's why I try to obey Him, because I love Him. And I want to please Him. I want Him happy with me. I want Him to commune with me. That's why I serve Him. Not because I feel like I got to, or I'm so scared that I'm going to get a whipping if I don't. But I serve Him because I love Him. And I want to spend time with Him. And I want Him happy with me. And that's what He wants out of all of us. He wants us to delight ourselves in fatness, in the will of God, in the Word of God. I tell you, that's what His delight is. That's why God made man. Father seeks the such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why He made man, to serve Him and to love Him. And that's what He wants out of all of us. And that's when you get grieved, when you don't. When you don't put out the whole heart of that, you get grieved about yourself. And you ought to be. And I ought to be. When I don't, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. What we have in Christ and what He's done for us, and for us to just cast Him off and do our own thing and run our own ways and take His mercies and His grace for granted. Every day we go, people living out of the will of God, they wake up and they go and they come back, and most of them, they are. If they're out of the will of God, they're living in fear. They're scared to death a lot of times. And there's the Lord so merciful all these years watching over them and keeping them. He'll throw a storm out there, a warning sign here and a warning sign there, saying, son or daughter, stop, be still, come back to me. And then they continue to run, and then another one will come. And as it continues to go on, and they don't listen and they don't turn their hearts to God, then they'll die before their time. They'll be saved so much as by fire, but they'll suffer a great loss. They'll lose their life. They'll die before their time. And those folks and people that God's committed to their trust, if somebody else is not laboring over them fervently, then they'll die. And they will go to hell. And their blood will be on their hands. I don't want no blood on my hands. I want to be faithful. I want to get out there and reach them. I want to reach them. And more we know, the more is required out of us. I tell you, I was sitting there, I think it was yesterday morning, and I was falling asleep. I was trying to do some praying and studying, seeking the Lord, and I dozed off again. And then when I dozed off, I just headed for a wreck. I mean, I was just to the point where it was out of my control. And I woke up, and I woke up then. I was wide awake then. And the Lord knows I'm trying to get in my heart, but He showed me the importance of it. And I don't want to have any ounce of lackness on my part. And I'm human. And sometimes it's not meant. Sometimes He said, go ahead and sleep. But there's sometimes when He wants to speak to us, we got to be all ears and all heart and just put out an effort. But that's the way I took it for myself. I didn't cast it aside. I said, Lord, You're speaking to me. And I know it. Ask Him to help me. Have mercy on me. And speak to me. Give me what You need. I'm not sure it might have been the morning of the broadcast, but He gives me what I need. I got a long ways to go. And I tell you, I want to help precious souls get saved. It's very important. And what we do, we got to do it now. Time's swiftly passing away. And souls are dying every day. Hell's enlarging itself every day. And people need to realize and think of the importance of this. I know a lot of churches, they don't talk about hell too much. They don't talk about a lake of fire too much. A lot of people don't want to hear it. You know, fire and brimstone type of preaching. But the Bible said it's the Word of God. It must be preached. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. And it must be preached. And I'm not going to have your blood on my hands. But today, if you want to be saved, you can be. If you're tired, you got to get sick of the way you're living, first of all. You got to get sick of that life. You got to get tired of it. Like the woman at the well, she came to this well every day to draw. And when Jesus came, He said, it must needs I go by the way of Samaria. There was a need. He knew the need. And He knew she was tired. He knew she was weary. And He knew her. He knew all about her. So He came a long journey there. And He sat on the well and waited on her. He was waiting on her. That's the same thing He's doing today. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And He came. He was waiting on her. And she came. And they began to have a conversation. And He began to tell us, the woman, if you... asked of me. First He asked her of a drink of water, and she said, you are Jew, I'm Samaritan, and we don't have no dealings with one another. And how is it you asked me of a drink of water? And He said, woman, if you knew who asked unto thee a drink of water, you would ask of him, and he would give you a drink of water. Well, you'd never thirst again, and you would never have to come back here to draw. And she said, sir, give me this water. Give me that water you're talking about. I'm tired. I'll tell you how tired she was. When she got saved, she left that water pot behind. She left it there. She didn't take it with her. She was tired of that life. She was tired of the way she was living. And the Word of God got right down where she lived. Exposed her. She realized it. She knows she was a sinner. She knows she needed help. And when she called on Him, she got saved. She believed what He told her. And He forgave her. And what she did, she left the water pot behind and went into the city and told all the men what God did for her. The women wouldn't have nothing to do with it because of her lifestyle that she had. But she went and told the men what God did for her. And they had to come see for themselves. And I tell you something, that's a testimony. We have a testimony when God saves us. And we all, our light, our testimony is our light. He said, let your light shine. Our testimony ought to shine. And that's our light. We got the Holy Spirit, of course, is our light. But how is He to us? How personal is He to us? And that's our light, our testimony. And that's our light bulb, and we ought to let it shine. And we ought to cherish our testimony. That we wouldn't let anything hinder that. That we wouldn't let anything, any sin, or anything in our life that would someone to look at us and say, are they a Christian? I don't really see that in them. It ought not to be that way. They ought to be able to see our light shining. And our testimony ought to mean something to us. What Christ has done for us. He talked about it in Hebrews 2. He talked about, you know, how, you know, God's going to judge His people and deal with them. And, you know, we ought not to take what we've been taught and what we've received and just trod it down and just, oh, the words act like we can live unto ourselves. No man lives to himself. No man dies unto himself. Where we live or die, we're the Lord's. He said, we're the salt of the earth. And the salt has lost its saltness. It's good for nothing. Cast down out in front of, trodden under the foot of men. And we ought not to become just like another man, another person, like Samuel did. Not Samuel, but Samson. He lost his strength. He laid his head down in the lap of Delilah. He fell to sin. And he thought he would get up before time like he did before and fight off the enemy. But he couldn't. He had no strength. He told her all of his heart. All of his heart he gave to the devil there. He was saved. But I'm telling you, he gave in. And when he did, the devil took advantage of him and made joke and mockery out of his God. Out of the Lord we serve. And that's what the devil will do. He'll take you and he will shame. You'll crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And I tell you, there they were. And they brought him in. They made sport about Samson. And there he was. And he prayed that last prayer. He said, Lord, if you would help me and have mercy and forgive me. And they done put his eyes out and everything. And the Lord answers his prayer. And he told that little lad, a boy, he said, now you put my hands to those pillars and you get out of here. And he took those pillars and God gave his strength back one more time. And he pushed it aside and that place fell down and crushed all of them. All the wickedness and all the devil's crowd. And he died there. But he killed more, I believe, in that instant than he did in all the enemies of the Lord before that. But the Lord heard his prayer. That wasn't his desire. His desire was not to give in and fall like he did. But he did. And whenever you get around things like that, if you get around things that you're weak, you will go down. You can't handle it. Nobody can. You can't handle it. You just got to stay away from it. You can't go down to the bars down there and try to preach to them. You got a problem with drinking. You got to leave it with the Lord. You got to pray them out of the place. Got to make the way to speak to them. You got to pray for them. You got the Lord to make the way. And I've never been led to go down to a bar and tell someone what Christ has done for me. I'm never. And He's never led me that way. One time I went to a bar and it wasn't for me. It was my dad that was there. And that he done took my motorcycle, my street bike that I had. And I didn't really had no reason to even have one, but I did. I was 16, 17 years old. And he took off with it. And he called me. He said, son, I want you to come get me. The police is here and so forth. I want you to come get me. And I didn't feel good about it. I hadn't been back to church too long. And I didn't really want to go, but I went ahead and did. So I went there and I pulled up in the parking lot. And I seen all that. And I told myself, if I come through there and he's not standing out there, I am not stopping. I'm not waiting around. And sure enough, he wasn't. And I took off. And I no longer pulled in the driveway. He was behind me. He was just trying me. It was just the devil. He come home and cussed me out, called me a hypocrite. And it hurt my heart. And I tell you, it really did. But I tell you, the Lord, the glory of the Lord I had in my soul after that. I mean, I was singing the next morning. I mean, I was enjoying. I mean, singing hallelujah in my heart as I was working. I mean, the Lord just blessed my soul because, you know, I suffered just a little bit, not much, for the cause of Christ there. But I tell you, I didn't feel led to go in there and say, let me tell you what Christ done for me. Let me tell you all that you're doing. No, I tell you, they're not going to hear you anyway. You don't cast your pearls before the swine. You got to wait until the Lord gives it to you. And when He gives it to you, it'll be right. And the Lord can speak to them. But this morning, we just need to think about these things. Our testimony is very important. And we need to cherish it and hold it and just embrace it and just think about it every day. How we're going to serve the Lord. How can we live better? And how can we correct ourselves? Every day I look at myself and I have to cry out, woe is me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Help me with my thoughts. Help me with my mouth. Help me with everything I do, Lord. Help me always have the right thoughts. When I'm doing a job, help me, Lord, do a good job. And help me be faithful in everything I'm doing. And I pray that. And I'm human. And I make mistakes. And I ask God to help me. Forgive me. And He does. Every time. He knows. He just wants us to be honest about it. And I'm thankful that He helps me. And He'll do the same for you. But I tell you, if we really see ourselves like we ought to see us, then we know we're not apprehended as yet. Just like Paul said, I'm not apprehended as yet, brethren, but I'm pressing on. There's a mark. There's a goal. And I'm pressing toward it. I'm pressing for the mark, the prize, the high calling in Christ Jesus. We're to press toward that mark. Not make excuse for our sins, not make excuse for things we've done, but we're honest, we're confessing it, and we're going northward. We're going on. We're forgetting about what's behind us. God's brought you out and He's forgave you, then you don't go and live in it. Don't stay in it. Just go on. Say, God's forgiven me. The devil brings it back up. Or maybe a family member may even bring it up. Well, you did this. You've done that. Yes, I have. But God's forgiven me. That's my past. And God have mercy. I'm glad I'm doing better. I'm going to continue to strive on. But we're not to live in those things. We're to go on and press on. Because the song says it won't be very long until we reach the land of song. Well, I tell you, we got but a short time here on earth. And what we do, we need to do it quickly right now. Right now. I encourage you right now. You know, I was reading about Peter just briefly this morning. And he said, I want to stir you up in remembrance. He said, I'm about to go. He said, my time is short. He said, I don't have much longer. And Paul talked about the same thing. He said, but I want to stir up your remembrance. He told them what to do and how to conduct themselves and how they ought to act and beware of false prophets and false teachers and false doctrines and all these types of things. And I mean, they love the Word of God and they love the people of God. And when it come time to go, like Paul said, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and therefore it's laid up for me a crown. And so he did what God wanted to do. And he cherished his testimony, and his testimony lives to us to this day. I tell you, we see some even in our church. It lives unto this day. Sister Martha, she blessed her soul. She lived for the Lord. She loved the Lord. And she everybody knew that. And I tell you, she praised the Lord. And when she talked to you about something, you knew it was coming from the Lord. And I tell you, her testimony still burns within us today. We think about that. And Brother Gerald, he's with us. God bless his soul. He's a faithful Christian and a faithful one that suffered for the cause of Christ and for the Word of God. He suffered for it. And he suffered and gave it to us and we're benefited by it. And I know the Lord's going to strengthen him and help him. He's in control. The Lord told me, don't be afraid. He's in control of it all. He's going to take care of it. And I tell you, but he suffered a lot. And his testimony is going to live on and on and on too. And some of the others that really live for the Lord. But a lot of them we look and see they died before their time. And their testimony unto their families and stuff is not what it should be. And I don't want to be that way. Like one, I believe it was Elijah when they buried him and when they put that man's bones down on top of him. Or it was Elisha, wasn't it? A double portion prophet. And I believe in, I tell you this, the Bible said this man come alive. I mean the testimony of Elisha, the double portion prophet. And I tell you, we ought to just strive to be like those type of folks and like those men of God. Strive for the mastery. Strive for the perfection. We never will reach it, but we're to strive for it because we never can be perfect. But Paul one time said he was keeping the law blameless and perfect. He's talking about whatever the law said do. If we fall, make mistakes, we repent over it. I don't have to go to an earthly priest like Brother Vic was talking about. I tell you, my priest is in heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. And I have access to go right to him. And fall right at his feet and talk to him about everything. I don't have to go to nobody else. I go straight to him because he's made the way that I could come boldly to the throne of grace. But for a time of need, a time of mercy, and a time of trouble. And boy, do I see that every day. I need it every day. And so I'm so thankful I have somebody I can go to. Now, he didn't leave me alone. That's what he said. I'm not going to leave you alone when I leave you. He said, I'm going to send back the comforter. But not only that, we can come right to him and talk to him. He's not a stranger. He's our Lord. He's our friend. And he's very instant, very nigh to them. If you come to him and you really want him to hear from God, you really want him to help you, then just come to him and believe. He said, when you come to me, believe that you have the request that you asked of me. He said, come and believe it. Know it. And when your heart's not condemned, you can have that type of confidence. But when you sin, when you come up short, you have condemnation, and you don't have the confidence that you should have when you come to Him. So you got to get that right first. And when you get your heart right, then that confidence will come. That you will feel comfortable to go unto Him and pray. And you'll know it. That's what I always do. I start out with myself. Like my brother talked about when he spoke last, I believe. I talk to him about myself first. And I get myself right with the Lord and get cleansed. And a lot of times the Lord has to keep nudging me. It's all right to go and pray for somebody else now. Because I said, Lord, I could be here all night. But if we're honest with Him and real about it, He hears us. He hears us right when we first say it. And he knows it and he forgives us. I love that scripture. It says, I love the Lord because he heard the voice of my supplications. And he showed me that many a times when I'd be praying, Lord, if is everything all right before I can pray? Lord, just help me. And he would show me that. And I said, I sure do love you, because I do love him. He's my best friend. I tell you, no other friend like Jesus. I tell you, he's very nigh to you. And he wants to be your friend today if you're not saved. He'll make you new. Some of you may think you're saved, and that's between you and the Lord. But if you don't have this type of relationship, there's something wrong. Something wrong with you if you don't love him, if you don't want to live for him, if you don't want to speak about him, you don't want to brace your testimony and speak about the testimony, speak about what God did for you. I tell you, he'll help you. He'll encourage you when you do, when you're really saved. But I tell you, when you really get saved, it's a joy, it's a difference. It's more than a head knowledge, and it's more than a lip service. It's more than just trying to go through the motions of religion, trying to do good. It's something that starts on the inside, like Brother Roloff talked many times, bless his soul, and it works itself on the outside. A lot of folks start on the outside, and they never will get on the inside. They'll polish themselves up. He said that's the way the Pharisees were. They're like a whitest sepulcher. You know, they look nice. I mean, they look beautiful and everything's. I mean, they can speak and they can. I mean, they just know how to speak it. They know how to cross every T, dot every I. I mean, they know everything. I mean, it's just beautiful. The sermons, to everything. But they're empty and it's dry. There's nothing to it. They can't help nobody. But the Bible said, let him get alive in you and let him bring it out. And somebody could be stuttering and it'd be the Lord. I enjoy every bit of it because it's coming from heaven. But I tell you, there's many times, like a brother Dwight it was, I believe. And I tell you, he loved the Lord. He was saved. But he can get up here on that piano sometimes and, I mean, just hit every note and sing. And, I mean, it was the Lord. You could feel it. And the Lord blessed him like that at times. And that's the way the Lord is. And that's the way he helps me too, because I'm not capable of preaching his word. When I go and do, and sometimes I get to sing, and I can't really sing like I want to, but I can sing sometimes because the Holy Spirit will put me in tune and he'll just let me sing it with feeling and they can feel it. And that's what I want. I'd rather have that than anything in the world. I don't want to sing without him. I don't want to preach without him. I don't want to pray without him. I tell you, I just want him to be first and to guide me. If that's the case, then somebody's going to be touched by it. Somebody's going to feel it. It's going to penetrate because the Holy Spirit had its way. Can you imagine what it would be like here if the Holy Spirit had its way in all each and every heart? And it could just go from heart to heart. And I mean the movement of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, I mean, like the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in its fullness right then and there. I mean, they was in one mind and one accord in that upper room. And they was waiting patiently. And he came back. He came just like he said. The Holy Spirit came just like Jesus said. And he'll do the same for us. It'll get strong in here. But we got to get the foreign matter out. Individually, each and every person. We got to get it out of our lives. And when we do, then we'll be able to come together and the Holy Spirit will have its way. And all these sinners and folks that's not saved as yet, I tell you, they won't be able to stand. Their heart will be so crushed by the movement of the Holy Spirit and so powerful, it will stir their souls. They already want to be saved, but it's just they're holding out. And they will give their hearts to Christ. And I'm so thankful for the soul he's saved so far, past couple of years now. And I tell you what a joy that is. I mean, the Lord gave us a good taste and he saved several there and it's just wonderful. It's almost like a dream. And I tell you, it's a joy. But he saved you for service. He saved you. We've been praying for more laborers for the harvest. And there's a work to be done. He don't save us to sit down like pastors preached all these years. To sit down on the stool of do nothing. He's preached that for as long as I can remember. The stool of do nothing. And we ought not to be on the stool of do-nothings. We ought to be about our Father's business. That's what Jesus said when he saved them. What did he tell them? He said, follow me. He said, rise and take up your cross and follow me. He said, if you don't, you're not worthy. He said, but you're to take up your cross and follow me. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to guide you, but there's a work to be done. And he wants us to get busy. Not about what we want, but what he wants. And I promise you, if you do that, you'll be satisfied. You'll be happy. Don't think you're going to miss out on something because you don't get to do as you want to do. Everything you want to do, you do it. So I tell you, so many of us, is so spoiled. Probably every one of us in here probably spoiled in some kind of way. We don't get what we want. If we don't get exactly what we want when we want it, you know, sometimes we want to stick our lips out or, you know. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying how the flesh is. That describes our flesh. And we start thinking about the things we don't have instead of the things we do have. And how God's blessed us. And how He's took care of us. And how He's watched over us. And that's the way our flesh is. And that's why He wants to do all of us. He wants us to get our own world. He wants us to feel sorry for ourselves. He wants us to have our own little pity party. And I promise you, if you want a pity party, the devil will show up to every one of them and he will help you out to the fullness. He'll tell you everything you want to hear. He'll just go right along the way you think, and there you are. And he'll just beat you to pieces because he don't want you to enjoy what you have. If you're saved, you got salvation. And it's mighty in you. It's wonderful. And he says, rejoice in it, enjoy it, and trust in me, and follow me, and I'll do the work. Is it easy? No. Are we going to suffer? Yes. He said we would. It ought not to be strange to us when we go through many different types of things in our lives and trials. Because He said we're going to go. He said, I did. They hate me. They're going to hate you. They spoke out against me. They're going to speak out against you. He said, they're going to do these things. He said, but if you are... if you're suffering as a Christian, he said, leap for joy. Count it all joy that you've been counted worthy to suffer for an almighty Savior. And I tell you, none of us suffered really. We hadn't shed any blood. And I tell you, we're just pitiful. I am. I'm a pitiful Christian. And I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And no matter what I go through, I don't want to go around complaining. I just want to give Him thanks all the time. He said, in all things, give thanks. Give thanks unto God for what He's doing. All things work together for the good, for them that love God and called according to His purpose. And so God knows what's needed. He knows what's best. And if I'm going through some things, I tell you, it's going to help me. It's going to help me grow. It's going to help me see myself in a better way. So if I can get myself out of the way, the more I get self out of the way, the more understanding I will have. The more the darkness will leave, the more the light will come, and I'll be able to serve Him better, I'll be able to help others better. But if I don't see it, and I'm not honest when God tries to show it to me, I will stay in the dark, and I don't want to be in the dark. The day star has already risen in my heart. The light is already shining. The true light now shineth in me. It shines in you when you say, and I tell you something, folks, let Him have His way. Let Him have His way. Like the song says, let Him have His way with thee. His power make you what you ought to be. His love, His power, His love. And just what a joy it is to trust Him and believe Him. And let's let Him have His way. And that's what I want. And I know that's what you want if you're saved. But we're going to sing a few more songs. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have pick up the offering. But I know the Lord opened my mouth and I wasn't about to shut it until He was through with me. The Lord knows. He knows how to conduct the service. I don't. So I'm going to stay ignorant on my part and just let Him take over, and He knows exactly what needs to be done. He knows who He's calling. He's dealing with souls this morning. He's calling sinners to repentance this morning. I know. I feel it. We sing that song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, and He's calling you. He's calling your name. And won't you come to Him? Be the day that your life be changed. Isn't that wonderful? He's still there. He's still forgiving. He's still saving. He's still giving mercy. And it's there for you. Won't you come and take it? Won't you come and receive it? And you'll be so glad you did. But let's all be praying for Brother Gerald. He's sick this morning. A lot of times on Sunday morning he is sick and he's laying there in bed hurting. But he put out a wholehearted effort this morning to get here, and he did. And I tell you, ready and willing to do the will of God and teach and preach. But he wasn't able to stay. He's very weak and a sick feeling. So he went home and he's resting. Y'all just continue. I know you are, to pray for him. And we know the Lord's will be done. That's what we want. We're praying and lifting him up. I was praying, Lord, just sustain him. Sustain him. Give him strength. Gird him with strength. And Lord, just help him. You know, the Lord said He gives us hinds feet. You know, and I know it spiritually, but I believe He can give us some physical hinds feet. I'm talking about just keeping us and strong in what we can do. And He'll hold us up. And I tell you, I've seen many times where the Lord held him up. And you know it wasn't him. He preached his own wife's funeral. I tell you, in a wheelchair, I believe it was. And so he preached on crutches until he was healed up. I mean, the Lord has kept him. And I love him this morning. I miss him. And I know the Lord is going to take care of him. But look, we're going to have a word of prayer. And anybody got anything in your heart, you want to say or share before we go, Lord, in prayer and sing these other two songs.